This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Welcome to our worship hour here at Fincastle Presbyterian Church via live streaming. Thank you for joining with us, and I hope you are safe and sound in your own homes and still conforming to the policies of our governor and the national leaders, that we shelter in place and that we physically distance ourselves from one another. I am convinced this is our best way of demonstrating our love for neighbor at this difficult time in our nation and world history in our battle against the COVID-19 virus. So I commend you for your efforts to stay home and stay safe at all times. But again, welcome to this worship hour, and I hope and pray that this live streaming service will be the means of God's grace to you and to us who are here in the sanctuary. We have just enough people here in the sanctuary to handle the technical ends of sending out this live streaming service. I do have one very important announcement to make this morning. I would like to announce to you the birth of Wyatt McKinley Kaufman, who was born yesterday, April the 11th. To McKinley and Jared. So to the parents, congratulations, and to Wyatt, welcome. And he arrived safe and sound and healthy in every way, and we are blessed as a community. Join with me now in the printed call to worship. It should be in the bulletin. It is in the bulletin. I hope you have printed it out for yourselves. And just follow along and say aloud with me the call to worship and the other unison readings that are in the order of worship. We thank you that you have answered us and have become our salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's bow our heads for the prayer of invocation. O God in heaven, we know that you are everywhere present at all times. There is no place where we can be that we might escape your gracious presence with us and for us through the Holy Spirit of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. But we pray for your special presence with us this morning during this hour of worship. Be with us here in the sanctuary. Be with us as we are in our homes worshiping you. Empower us, O Lord. Grant us the gifts of your Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Join with me in the singing of hymn number 234, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. And we're going to be bold this morning. We're going to try to sing all the verses as best we can. So join with us in the singing of Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. All creation joined to sing, come on, hallelujah.
Join with me now in unison in call to confession.
Remember that our Lord Jesus
can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with boldness approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess together our sins against God and neighbor. Let us pray together our prayer and confession. Almighty God, by your power in Christ, raised from the dead to rule this world with love, we confess that we have not believed in him, but fallen into doubt and fear. Gladness has no home in our hearts, and gratitude is slight. Forgive our dread of dying and our hopelessness, and set us free for joy in the victory of Jesus Christ, who was dead, but lives and will put down every power to hurt or destroy when your promised kingdom comes. Let us confess our sins silently, our personal sins silently together this morning. O Lord, hear our prayers of confession, both those that we have spoken aloud together as the community of faith, and those that we have lifted up personally, silently, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And respond to our confessions, O God, with the grace and mercy that you have revealed to the world in the person and work, the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. We declare to all who believe and all who repent in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Church secretary and office manager, and let us know that we might add that name to our prayer request list. By the same token, if there's someone who's gotten better that we don't know about and their name can come off, please let us know that as well, that we might keep our prayer. We thank you for the beauty in this day, that we might rejoice and be glad in it, for it is a day of your making. Help us, O Lord, to remember, even during this time of the COVID-19 virus and the anxieties and fears that we are all experiencing, that you are God, you alone are God, and Lord of all things, and that nothing in all this universe can exceed your authority or your grace and your mercy. O Lord, we ask for your blessings upon us today, that we might be a glad and rejoicing people who worship you in spirit and in truth. We lift up before you this morning our prayers of intercession for the good folks whose names appear in our church's prayer list. Be with each and every one of them. We pray especially, O Lord, for those who are struggling for good health of body, mind, and spirit. We'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for the birth of young Wyatt, and we thank you for his parents, McKinley and Jared. And we pray for your blessings upon this new family. Grant to young Wyatt all the strength and health and potential of life that is a young newborn child's gift to the world. And we ask for your blessings upon him and his loving parents. We also lift up in prayer this morning our prayers of mercies for Al Frederick and Jean Branscom and Laura Holt. We pray for Jackie Farrell and Holly Myers and Ruth Schaff. We lift up our prayers for Mary Lee Reese and Mary Black and Audrey Brisendean. We pray for Clyde and Natalie Gibbons, for Vaughn Bosman and Khaki Peasley. We pray for Doug Ross and Diane and John Pointer. We pray for Marilyn Koch and Janet Woolwine and Neil Brush. We lift up our prayers for Alexis Porter and Molly Rose and the family of Helen Roth. We give you thanks for their lives, O God, and ask for your mercies upon those who do and love them. Bless Julie Amoroso. And we pray, O Lord, for your blessings upon all people in this community and in our nation and in the world who are struggling for good health as they battle to recover from the COVID-19 coronavirus. We pray, O Lord, for those families who have lost loved ones to this dread disease. Strengthen them and comfort them in their time of grief and great need. O Lord, we pray especially for our nation's leaders. Be with our president and his counselors. Grant to them wisdom and discernment. Help them to make faithful decisions about the care of the nation. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless our leaders at every phase of governance, that they might all make good decisions for the well-being of our people. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless the people who are really in the trenches, in the front lines in this battle against this virus. Bless our medical care community, the doctors and nurses and therapists. We pray for your blessings upon the caregivers who work in nursing homes. Bless the nursing home staff and the residents there. Keep them safe, O God. We pray for the men and women who serve in the grocery stores or drive the trucks or deliver the mail, everyone whose job is essential and must continue to work and serve even during a dangerous time. We pray especially for our military men and women stationed around the world and here in this country, serving the needs of the community around them. Keep them safe, O God. And we do remember those soldiers who serve in dangerous places. Grant to them your mercies of protection. We pray by their efforts the world will be made a safer and better place. And when their time of service is done, see them safely home. Return them to their loved ones, their community and family and friends. O God in heaven, we pray for all who are struggling in life. We think especially of the homeless and the poor, people who live in communities such that they cannot socially distance from one another, who live risky lives day by day. Keep them safe and grant to them the help that they need. Father in heaven, we pray for your church, this church in particular, and your church throughout the world in all of its forms, shapes, and sizes. Help us to be the means of your grace, O Lord, even as you have sent your grace to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that we will be responsive to the needs of the community, the world itself. Help us to represent your kingdom faithfully until that day when your kingdom comes in all of its fullness, led by your Son, Jesus Christ. In this, as in all things, O Lord, we must confess once again that we have sinned and fallen short of the mark. So we ask, O Lord, that you would forgive us and set our feet upon the right path again. Hear us now as we lift up the great prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue our worship by singing together hymn number 239, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your bulletins to the scripture readings. Beth has printed them out for us here.
First reading is from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, verses 14 through 24. Let's listen now for God's word to us in this reading. Remember, it is a victorious military leader or king who's returned from battle. He's appeared, presented himself before the temple in the holy city of ancient Jerusalem, and he is seeking admittance into the temple that he might give thanks to the Lord, for it is the Lord that has delivered him and his army. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Hark! Glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank thee that thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now join with me in the reading of Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10, Matthew's account of that first Easter Sunday morning. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Hail!" And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This Easter Sunday may not seem very much like the Easter Sundays of our past. Our congregations are not gathered, for the most part, in their beloved sanctuaries. Families are not dressed in their springtime and Easter finery. Happy clusters of little children will not be looking together anyway for Easter eggs. We are all so very distant from one another. We are worried. We are afraid because of the COVID-19 virus. No, this Easter Sunday does not feel much like the Easters with which we are familiar. But according to the gospel accounts of that first Easter, if you look at those accounts closely, neither did the first Easter look or feel much like our cultural celebrations of Easter or our springtime festivities. The disciples were hidden and afraid in their secret room. for fear that the religious and the civil authorities might do to them that which they had done to Jesus. And only a few women had ventured out of hiding, that they might go to the tomb to anoint the dead body of their slain friend and teacher. Nevertheless, the good news of Easter came to them, nevertheless. Now Matthew tells his story of Easter much the same way that his gospel writing colleagues tell their versions, very simply, very plainly, unadorned even. In his first words about Easter, Matthew gives us simply day and time, the lead characters, and their action on that particular day. He writes, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." Matthew did not waste his time nor hours by describing poetically the colors of the dawning sky or the delicate sounds of the songbirds at the break of day. Neither did Matthew give us a psychological profile of the two Marys. No, Matthew simply gave us the facts as he knew them to be. And yet, even through Matthew's plain words, we see a little something of the somber mood of that moment. He does tell us, after all, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. So at the very least, we can conclude that both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were resigned to the sad reality, the hard facts of life of that previous Friday, that their beloved friend Jesus had been crucified. He was dead, he had been buried, and he was still crucified, dead, and buried, to use the words of the Apostles' Creed, and that nothing had happened since that previous Friday to change that hard reality. That's what they knew at that moment, and so they were sad. That was their only expectation, that was their only hope. The mood then was one of resignation, even a sad surrender to the hard facts of life as life would teach it to us in this world, much as we've had to resign ourselves to the hard facts of life as taught by the COVID-19 virus. Oh, but Matthew has more to tell in his story. Matthew tells us that there is another world at work, another life at work, and other laws that are greater than the laws of our world at work in this scene surrounding Jesus' tomb. Matthew tells us, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." Though the two Marys had come to see the tomb, and had expected it to be nothing else, though they had resigned themselves to the hard realities of death, it was vital that morning that they should see more, much more than simply the tomb. According to Matthew's account, so that the two Marys might really see what had happened, God sent to them a heavenly messenger to reveal to them the truth about the tomb and the truth about that morning. Now the first words out of the angel's mouth to the two Marys was a word of comfort. "Do not be afraid," the angel said to them. That is often the case in the Old and New Testament. Whenever God encounters, or one of God's messengers encounters us mere human beings, the first word is a word of comfort. "Do not be afraid." Then it was that the angel immediately went on to replace their fear with wonder and even awe-inspired joy. The angel spoke to them words that would correct their resigned and hopeless reason that had brought them to the tomb, that would awaken within the two Marys the astounding new awareness of the good news of Easter, a new awareness that would send them running away from the tomb in fear, yes, but also in wonder and awe. The angel said, "I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." By his simple reporting to the two women, of the simple facts of that Easter morning, the angel opened the eyes of those two women that they might really see the tomb for what it was, an empty tomb, a powerless tomb that had not been able to hold their Lord and their friend Jesus. Jesus was not there. And Jesus was not there not because some obsessed disciple had come in the night to steal his body away to give the appearance that the resurrection has occurred. The Roman guards were there. That was their purpose in being there, to prevent any grave tampering. No, whatever happened at that tomb that first Easter Sunday morning was not the work of human hands. It was God's work and no one else's. That Easter was the work of God the Father, is borne witness by the words of the angel to the women. He is not here, for he has been raised. And notice, it's he has been raised in the passive tense. It was not Jesus who raised himself from the grave, but the Father in heaven who raised the Son from the grave. That is our great hope. Good news of the angels revealing to the women that the tomb was empty. And why the tomb was empty is this. God the Father raised the beloved Son from the dead. Easter was and is the gracious act of God meant for all the world to see. God has won the decisive battle against both sin and death in the cross and in Easter. For in the death of Jesus upon the cross, God took the cost of human sin upon God's own heart. And in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, God proclaimed his final authority over both life and death. Because of the cross and because of Easter, now the believer, you and I, can live our lives in freedom, for now we have hope, even in the face of death. Through faith, we can live as a forgiven people. Through faith, we can live in the sure and certain hope of our own resurrection in the last day. The church has always declared this good news. It is awesome. It is wondrous. It is beyond our comprehension. But there is one thing that we can do. We can respond to that good news with a grateful and obedient life. This is the message of the angel to the two women. He told them, come and see the place where he lay. But then he added one other phrase. Go quickly, tell his disciples. The four verbs, come, see, then go and tell. That's the mission of the church today, as it was the church in the days of Jesus and his disciples. The church today lives and finds its purpose by coming and seeing the good news of the empty tomb, the resurrected Lord. But then the church must respond and go into the world and tell the good news that we have seen and embraced. This is our calling. God's calling to us. Easter's good news is not just for you and me alone. It is meant by God for the whole world to hear and to see and to embrace. By God's grace, may each of us go forward from the hearing of the good news of Easter, and go into all the world according to the gifts and talents that God has given us, and bear witness to that good news in all that we say and do. Where there is hunger, may we extend a warm robe. Where there is thirst, a cup of cool water. Where there is sickness, healing. Where there is imprisonment, freedom. Where there is loneliness, companionship. Where there is unbelief, may we extend the good news of God in Jesus Christ. Then it will be that in that marvelous moment of our obedience, we will better see the risen Lord before us. That was the case for the two Marys. Matthew tells us they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. They obeyed God's word to them through the angel. And then Matthew writes, suddenly, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. It is in our grateful obedience that we can best see the good news of Easter, the good news of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There in our obedience to his word will we render our best service to a world broken by many evils, including the evil of the COVID-19 pandemic. Even in those difficult moments, we can still see our risen Lord and Savior. We can still worship him and serve him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Let's continue our worship by saying what we believe together using the Apostles' Creed. Christians, what is it that we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's continue our worship by singing together the hymn number 247, The Day of Resurrection. Amen.